Welcome to The Lamb Lens, where we bring clarity to the world of finance. I'm Kelsey Berryman, Senior Wealth Strategy Associate at The Lamb Group, joined by Evans Lamb, Managing Director, Wealth Management, and Senior Portfolio Manager at UBS Financial Services, Inc. Our team is located in Pasadena, California, and you can reach out to us at evans.lamb@ubs.com. Our goal is simple: to educate, debunk financial myths, and share our team's lens on the markets.
Welcome back to this week's episode of The Lamb Lens. I'm Nicole Chen, Client Associate at The Lamb Group, located in Pasadena at UBS Financial Services, Inc. Following our last episode, today we're going to be talking about the yen currency. If Japan has finally emerged from decades of deflation and has started raising interest rates, then shouldn't the yen be getting stronger? At first, that seems like the obvious conclusion. Growth has improved, inflation has returned, and the Bank of Japan has finally begun moving away from the negative interest rate policies that defined much of its past two decades. But instead, the yen has remained weak. To understand why, we need to start with something called the yen carry trade. For years, Japan had some of the lowest interest rates in the world, which made the yen a natural funding currency. Even after policy tightening began, Japan's rates remained far below those of most other major economies. That gap mattered because it allowed investors to borrow cheaply in yen and invest the proceeds in higher-yielding assets elsewhere. Now, if we think about it, the standard interest rate theory would suggest that once Japan moves away from ultra-low rates, the yen should have strengthened. In March 2024, the Bank of Japan ended its negative rate regime and lifted its policy rate from negative 0.1% to a range of 0 to 0.1%, its first increase since 2007 after years of keeping rates below zero. By late 2025, the policy rate has risen to 0.75%, and it has stayed there through the latest meetings. In isolation, that kind of normalization should support the currency because higher domestic yields usually make the currency more attractive to hold on to. And that is where the story changes. Markets had expected Japan's policy rate to move closer to 1% or even 1.5% this year. But the Bank of Japan has been hesitant to keep hiking. One major reason is energy. Japan is one of the most import-dependent economies, and roughly 95% of its crude oil imports come from the Middle East. When oil prices rise, a weak yen makes those imports even more expensive, squeezing households and businesses. At the same time, aggressive rate cuts could further slow an already fragile economy, so the government has tried to cushion the shock through fuel price subsidies instead. The result is that investors see a government that may want a stronger currency, but not one that is willing to tighten policy fast enough to force that outcome. And a major factor for that is Japan's government debt and bond market. Japan has one of the highest levels of government debt in the world, exceeding 250% of its GDP, and that debt is largely financed through the government bond market. For years, the BOJ has played a dominant role in the market, purchasing massive amounts of government debt and government bonds to keep the yields low. Even as the BOJ has become to normalize policy, it has remained cautious about allowing yields to rise too quickly, because higher interest rates would sharply increase the government's borrowing costs. That creates a structural constraint. The central bank cannot tighten aggressively without destabilizing the fiscal situation. As a result, the long-term yields in Japan remain suppressed relative to the other major economies, reducing the attractiveness of yen-dominated assets. And because investors understand the dynamic, it reinforces the view that Japanese rates will stay relatively low for longer, which keeps pressure on the currency. A useful comparison here is the Swiss franc. Switzerland also has relatively low interest rates, and the franc can also be used in carry trades, but it is not in the same way as the yen because the franc still behaves much more like a true safe haven currency. In periods of market stress, investors often rush to Swiss francs, which means it can strengthen suddenly and wipe out carry trade profits. That makes it a riskier currency to borrow and short. The yen, by contrast, has been used more consistently as a funding currency because Japan's policy has remained looser for longer, and markets have been more willing to bet on continued yen weakness.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Lamb Lens. You can visit us at advisors.ubs.com/The Lamb Group for more information. See you next week.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review the client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.